few weeks ago, friends, I started a theme in my sermons on our availability to God. And we started by looking at the first sermon where we said, have we lost our cutting edge? And then last week we said, what is that in your hand? And today I want to encourage us in using that which God has given us to use, friends. Using what God has given you. You know, I was reading a story of 1800s. In fact, it was 1880, where a lady by the name of Martha Berry had a dream to start a school for poor children in Georgia. She had no books, no building, and no money. She just had the heart and the dream to help. And so she went to Henry Ford and asked for a donation, and he gave her a dime. She could have been insulted and discouraged, but she took the dime, bought some seeds, and planted a garden and raised the crop. She sold the crop and bought more seed and planted a larger garden. And after the fourth harvest, she made enough money to buy a log building to start a school. She went back to Henry Ford and thanked him for the dime. And she showed him what it had bought and accomplished. He was so overwhelmed and immediately donated $1 million and the Berry School for Children, and later a college with the same name, was firmly established. Friends, God calls us to use what he has given us. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I like how the New Living Translation puts that verse. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well and serve one another. It's not too difficult to identify the gifts and talents that we have. Every single Christian receives a gift from God. So maybe you can't preach like Billy Graham. Maybe you can't play the trumpet like Louis Armstrong or sing like Pavarotti. But you still have a marvelous gift. Amen?
Amen.
After a short period of time, you can more or less tell what you're good at. But our problem is not in identifying the talent, but in using it. In our text today, we'll see that Jesus wants to remind us of the need to use what God has given us. This reminder comes in the middle of a long teaching Jesus gave to his disciples, which started in the beginning of Matthew 24. Jesus is responding to his disciples' question in Matthew 24, verse 3. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Friends, Jesus warns them to be on guard so that no one will deceive them, and he helps them understand that after he leaves, he is coming again.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? He urges them in the second part of chapter 24 of Matthew to be ready, because he will come at an hour when he is least expected. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus compares his coming to the Eastern custom of a bridegroom arriving in the middle of the night to get his bride. And he tells a parable about the five wise and the five foolish bridesmaids. And he concludes by saying to them in Matthew 25, verse 13, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And in Matthew 25, verse 14, which is the beginning of our text for today, Jesus starts off with another parable. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. The word again indicates that Jesus is using yet another parable to talk about his second coming and their need to be vigilant in using their talents and gifts for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. A few things Jesus wants us to learn, friends, from this parable is firstly, what we have is not ours. Verse 14 says, in the same verse as we carry on, it says that this man who was getting ready for a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property, he entrusted his wealth to them. It was common then, friends, in those days, for wealthy men to take long journeys, perhaps on a business. But they would leave and they would arrange for someone to come take care of things. Come and water the plants, buddy. Come and walk the dog and feed the animals. But more than that, they would often delegate the management of their wealth to trustworthy employees. The employees were expected to bring a return on what they had been handed by the rich man or the businessman. Given the uncertainties of transportation in those days, the master would not be able to tell them the precise time when he would return. There was no doubt in their minds of these servants, friends, that the property and the money still belonged to the master. Amen? They were the possessions, these servants. They were the possessors, sorry. But they were not the owners. Their job was to manage that which they were given. They were to be good stewards of that which they were given. You know what's a steward? It's another word for manager. Likewise, we must remember, friends, that everything we have has been given to us and it's not really ours. But let's look in some verses. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11. For every animal in the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the fields. They're mine. Haggai 2, verse 8 says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. He has the rights and we have the responsibility. He is the master and we are the managers. He is the sovereign Lord and we are the servants. You got it? You say, well, you know, this talent that I got, man, nobody can do it like me. Guess what? It's not yours. You have to manage that. You got to use it. Anyway. Friends, we don't really own anything. Everything belongs to the Lord. Our gifts, our talents, our abilities are on loan from Him. Amen? Frankly, what we say we have, you say, well, that's mine, that, huh? What we say we have, we will one day leave behind. And in case you were expecting this, don't be too disappointed. I promise you, there won't be a U-Haul behind your hearse. Friends, what we have is not ours. We are managers. We are stewards. Secondly, what we are given, we can handle. You know, when I was in high school, I did woodwork right until grade 12. Oh, I loved it. But don't ask me to do work like Butch. Butch is a carpenter. Do you see the difference? I can do this, but I can't do that. You know why? This is not my gifting. I can't do what you can do. And it's okay. I don't have to try and fake it. In Matthew 25, verse 15, we see that the master gave some talents to three of his servants. It says there in verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Do you see that? Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. A talent is a measure of weight, but a talent can also be used to indicate a large sum of money. While commentators differ on the exact amount, most agree that it would take an ordinary person many years to earn just 1 talent. And so put into our economy using a minimal hourly wage, it's been agreed that a talent will be equivalent to about $300,000. The master gave the first servant 5 talents, which is about $1.5 million. The second guy received 2 talents, which is approximately $600,000. And the third steward got 1 talent, or about $300,000. Even though there's a big difference between the one who received 5 and the one who received 1, the guy who received 1 talent still got a lot of money according to his ability. That reminds us that God gives out of his abundance to us. Each servant received talents according to his ability. Friends, your responsibility is tied to your ability. I'll say that again. Your responsibility is tied to your ability. This is very interesting. God's kingdom does not operate on what is fair. Everybody must get the same. How come he got more? It's not about that. We don't work like that. What's fair? We must all get the same. When God gives us a gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. Once in the church in Corinth, the believers were taking sides over 2 different leaders. Some say, hey, I follow Paul. And another group was saying, wait now, hey, I follow Apollos. Paul writes to them, and let's see what Paul says. Wait now, buddy. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants. Do you see that? Only servants. Through whom you have come, you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But hey, God made it grow. God gave the increase. I always talk to the farmers, you know. Farming is so hard, man. These fellas go and they work the soil and they put the fertilizers and everything, man. And then they come and they put in the seed and then they roll or whatever they do. And hey, God makes it grow. Yes. Amen? Amen? Yeah. You can do it until you're blue in the face. But it's God who makes it grow. It is God who gives the increase. Don't say I got a better combine than you. No. It's nothing like that. There's no need to compare and compete. God gives the increase. Friends, what you have, and everyone here, by looking at you, I can just pop out what I see is your gift. What is your talent? What you can do. Listen, friends. I got a little bit of a gift, like I got one talent's worth of gift to play the drums. But have you heard some professional drummers? They make their drums talk. I don't have to try and be them. I just got to use what I have. But let me tell you something. There are ladies here who can bake bread better than me. Huh? You see their gift? You see their talent? I don't have that one. But I'm not going to salt now. I'm all mad. Oh, I want to be better? No, wait now. Listen, friends, let me not jump all over the place. We must do what God has called us to do. Our job is to be faithful to do that. What he expects from you is something you can handle because he gifted you that. He has given you the talent to do that. There are some people I've never heard them preach. Hey, but they are wonderful servants, man. They are serving God so powerfully. It's okay. Thirdly, we must invest. We must use what we have been given. You say, Keith, you know what? Man, I feel this is my strength. This is my gifting. And I would say, awesome, man. Now let's use it. Use it for his glory. In verse 16, it tells us, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. He didn't waste any time, but immediately went to make an investment and he doubled his master's portfolio. The guy who got 2 talents did the same thing and he doubled his master's money. But in verse 18 now, it describes the third servant's approach. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. While the first 2 students went to work and multiplied their investment, the servant was lazy and he buried his blessing. The problem was not that he had nothing. The problem was that he did nothing. You know, I was reading about this young boy named Antonio. He loved music, but his voice was high and squeaky. And so he did not make the tryouts for the Cremona boys choir. Then he took violin lessons, and the neighbors begged his parents to make him stop. Yet Antonio still wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because his only talent was cutting up things. When Antonio was older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker. He learned to cut wood and develop the skill of carving. His hobby became his craft. He worked patiently and faithfully, and by the time he died, he had left over 1,500 violins. Each bearing the label that read Antonio Stradivarius. Stradivarius. One of the most sought after violins in the world, and they sell for over $100,000 each. Antonio couldn't sing, he couldn't play, he couldn't preach, he couldn't teach, but he used his ability, he used his gift and his talent, and his violins are still making beautiful music today. Our potential is God's gift to us, and what we do with it is our gift to Him. In the Tonight Show years ago, Jay Leno, his guest was a world champion bodybuilder. Leno asked the question, "What do you use all those muscles for?" The champion stood up, he flexed in front of the audience, and they applauded. Jay Leno again questioned, "Great, but how do you use them?" The champion seemed frustrated, and again he stood up and flexed his muscles. And Jay Leno finally said, "Ah, I get it. So they are just used to show others your potential." The man was all powerful, all potential, but no purpose and no production. An author famous for his quotes, Zig Ziglar, has said, "You are the only person on earth who can use your ability." Many are afraid, friends. And why are we afraid to use our gifts and talents and skills? Because most likely the people we are afraid of, they can't do what we can do. Usually, these people we are afraid of, they have different gifts and talents and skills, and they would be blessed to see you use yours. Friends, are you investing what you have been given, no matter big or small? Or have you buried your blessing and kept it hidden from others? This is a serious question, and I'll tell you why. It leads to the point number 4. The day of accountability is coming. Let me tell you. One day we stand before God. You say, "Lord, you know what? Man, I had a wonderful voice. I could sing awesome." And He said, "How come I didn't hear you in the church?" "Well, I buried it. I kept it safe." None of us want to be audited by Canada revenue. Is that how you say it? Canada revenue. But we will all be audited by God Almighty. Amen. We'll have to give an account of how we use what we had been given. Look in verse 8:19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Jesus is coming again, friends, and there will be a day of reckoning. While most of us believe this in our heads, we don't always live with eternity in our hearts. If we would think more about his return, we will be sold out, focused, determined on making an eternal return on our investments. Romans 14 verse 12 says, so then, each of us will give an account of himself, herself, to God. Each of us. We won't be able to stand behind Dwight. Dwight, speak for us. Tell. No, no. Each of us have to give an account of ourselves. He has invested something in you. Let's be faithful. Let's not waste it. He is coming back to claim it. Your job may be big or small, but whatever it is, friend, do it to the best of your ability. You know, at the new building there, let me tell you something. I am the champion of sweeping. I'm the champion, man. Yeah. While these other guys are using machines and that, I stay away. Well, I don't like machines. But let me grab a broom and I become the champion because I use the skill that God has given me to clean the place. Do you see that, friends? I don't have to say I need a ticket to go in that building. What's your ticket, buddy? Well, I'm good at sweeping. I got a ticket. Ellen made me the ticket. Anyway, friends, listen. Let us use what God has given to further his kingdom and to be found faithful in doing it until he returns. And leads me to my last point. What we do with what we have reveals our view of God. What we do with what we have reveals our view of God. As we come to verse 20 to 25 of our text, we see that the man who had been given 5 talents brought 5 more back. He said, Master, you know what? You entrusted me with 5. See, I've gained 5 more. He was eager and excited to show the master what he had done. He really wanted to please the owner. And a man with 2 approached this time, the same with excitement and anticipation. He said, Master, you know what? You remember you gave me 2? Yes, 2 more. And then the master says the same words, bang, bang, to the 2 fellows. One was in verse 21 and one was in verse 23. Let's see what it said, what he said to these fellows. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The master increased their resources after they had proven themselves faithful. But the 1 talent fellow, he came a bit more reluctantly to the master and said in verse 24, Master, I knew that you are a hard man. I want you to notice when the other fellow, two fellows came, they started off by talking about the master. Master, they said, you entrusted us with so. And see, I brought more. But this fellow who buried these, he started off about himself. He said, I knew that you are a hard man. Did you notice the first words out of his mouth? The other two guys said, Master, you entrusted me. This fellow said, Master, I knew. The third guy had a wrong view of the master and had his mind made up even before he received his talent, even before he got his one to look after. He made up his mind. He looked at the master as someone who was hard and harsh instead of loving and gracious. Listen, I want to read what pastor and author A.W. Tozer was right when he said this. What we think about God is the most important thing about us. You heard that, friends? What you think about God is the most important thing about us. If we view God as a tyrant, then we will filter everything through this lens. Some of you may be secretly angry with God because you think he did something or didn't do something that you think he should have. And as a result, your view of him is wrong. Your preconceived notion prevents you from seeing him as a God of love and grace. And as a result, you refuse to serve him with what he has given you. And when we blame God, we end up bearing our blessing. A faulty view of God, friends, can also lead to excuses. Why aren't you serving God? We hardly see you. Why aren't you serving God? We know you are talented and gifted. You know why? He gave it to you. Well, you've got a list of excuses, right? In verse 25, this man declares that the reason he didn't do anything was that he was afraid. His fear paralyzed him. And so he decided to play it safe. He hid the money to make sure it wouldn't be lost. And he accomplished exactly what he set out to achieve. Nothing. You know that saying, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. A wrong view of God always leads to fear. Listen what the Bible says in verse 25 of our text. So I was afraid, he said, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. A right view of God always leads to faith. If you're struggling with fear today, you know, I know God is calling me to get involved in the church, to do this, to help the Sunday school, whatever. You know God has called you and has talented you and gifted you to do that. You know it. But friends, if you're struggling with fear, learn about the character of God and ask him to grow your faith. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of the fear. I think of the first two guys, they were probably scared too. They were a little afraid too. But because they knew the master's character, because they knew the master, instead of being frozen by fear, they stepped out in faith. Let's look at the differences between the two servants who served and the one who didn't. The first two were determined to make a profit. The third was determined to not take a loss. The first two was willing to work and take risk. The third took no risk. The first two received the gift. The third refused the gift. The first two wanted to advance the master's domain, and the third had no interest in what mattered to the master. The first two viewed the money as an opportunity, and the third guy saw it as a problem. The first two allowed the master's gift to change their lives, and the third refused to let the gift touch his life. The first two invested, the other one wasted. The first two saw a blessing, and the third guy saw a burden. The first two knew the master, and the third guy had the wrong assumption about the master. A distinguishing mark of a true Christian, friends, is serving and giving. A lack of service portrays a heart where Jesus isn't really there. A Christian who is not using what God has given is a contradiction in terms. We are saved to serve, but hey, wait, now not me. Huh? You're a contradiction. Determined to know the master and to serve him wholeheartedly. Determine that, friends. Don't hide the truth. Don't bury it. Allow the greatest treasure of all, which is Jesus Christ himself, to radically transform and reform your life. So let's remember these points, friends. What we have is not ours. We're given what we can handle. We must invest what we have been given, remembering the day of accountability is coming. What we do with what we have reveals how we view our God. Some of us are thinking God is just like, No, God is saying, come here. He loves you, man. He's banking on you. Have you ever seen the Antique Roadshow on TV? I watch it sometimes when people bring stuff to the appraisers to find out how much it's worth. Many times they come with a lavish item they bought while on holiday in one of the places. And they come thinking that they have a huge treasure, only for the appraiser to say, hey buddy, this was made in China, man. This is fake, man. This is plastic. It's not ivory. And then there are those who come with a small trinket or a painting that was once up in the dusty attic. And they are happy to be on the show. And many times, these people discover that their item is worth far more than they ever thought. Did you remember those? Friends, some of us think that we don't have much to offer. But what we have is really a treasure from God himself. Amen? It's a treasure from God himself. Our responsibility is to use our ability to invest in God's kingdom purposes. I want to conclude. Do you know that Jesus took a little boy's loaves of bread and fish? And he multiplied them and he fed thousands. Do you know that God took a weak stuttering vessel like Moses and used him to lead thousands of Israelites out of slavery in Egypt? Do you know that God can can take 12 disciples who seemingly had no formal education and use them to change the world through their labor? Do you know that God is powerful and he can take our little and turn it into a lot? Do you know that he can take our weaknesses and use it to uplift his kingdom? Do you know that he can take our giftedness, which he has given us, and use us for something that makes a difference in eternity? Would you not believe what potential you have in the kingdom of God? Friends, maybe you have leveled off. Now listen, think carefully. Don't say, oh, I wish Johnny was here. No, no. Think about you. Maybe you have leveled off in your Christian life. And as we used to do in the boys' brigade, maybe you're marching on the spot or you're standing at ease. Maybe the word of God doesn't have the power in your life anymore that it used to have. Maybe your prayer life has dwindled, and I see that. Maybe you aren't giving sacrificially anymore. Maybe you aren't sharing your faith with others. Maybe you are burying your talent. Friends, God is depending on you. You got it? He's not depending on, you know, no, he's depending on you. He loves you. And he waits to see that we will do with what he wants to see, what we will do with what he has given us. Jesus has placed his business into our hands and will return someday to judge our faithfulness. Let me finish with these words. Look, not my notes. Listen, friends. You know your giftedness. You know your talents. You know your abilities. You know your skill. Now use it for his glory. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, look at all these lovely people. Everyone belongs to you. We are all your children. Thank you. Lord, you have talented us with so many different things in this building. Man, we will take so much paper writing each person's talents and giftedness or gifting. We will be astonished at what each person has that you have given them, Lord. I pray, Father, whether it's baking some cookies, or whether it's preaching the gospel, or whether it's cleaning your building, Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us. This is not the time to do less. It's the time to do more, for we are running out of time, as it were. Because Jesus is coming again. Bless everyone here, Lord. One day we will stand before you as each of those servants stood before their master and gave an account of what they did with what you had given them. Bless everyone here, Lord. They're all so lovely. In Jesus' name.